thanks this morning for this passage, for this gospel message. When you remind us that we are called to wait. So as we sit here waiting for you, come and meet with us. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Just in time. This passage, I don't know whether God had it, wanted it this way, or Hugh and I had deliberately put it this way, but the last sermon that I preached was on judgment and wedding. This sermon is also, well, this passage also has to do with a wedding and judgment. It's funny, actually. Let's think about the passage that I just read, that we'd read together. There's a wedding. And so I'm not aware of this custom, but let's say this is the Jewish custom, that when there's a wedding, there's 10 bridesmaids. Some versions say virgins, but bridesmaids who wait for the bridegroom to come. The Bible actually doesn't speak of a bride, so I don't know where the bride is, but the bridesmaids are waiting outside the door. We're not exactly sure where this is, whether this is the wedding venue or whether this is the house of the bride, or we don't know. The scripture doesn't say. What we do know is that there were 10 bridesmaids who were waiting for the bridegroom to arrive. Scripture is very clear in saying 5 of them were wise and 5 of them were foolish. The wise people were the ones who were prepared. They had flasks of oil with them. The 5 who were foolish did not have oil with them. They just had their lamp. Now, if you think about it, maybe they were the wise ones. Maybe they thought that they could borrow oil, that they didn't have to spend their own money to get the oil. Scripture doesn't say much about this. But what we do know is at midnight, someone says, "The bridegroom is coming." We don't know how this person knows. We don't know where this person got this information from, but surely enough, the bridegroom is coming. So the 5 foolish ones go to the ones with the oil and say, "Can you please share your oil?" And the wise ones may be wise, but they're not very nice. They say, "No, I'm not going to share my oil with you." Bible doesn't say how much extra that this person had. The Bible doesn't say how long they needed the lamp for. But the wise one were the not nice ones, and they decided not to share. So the 5 foolish ones go out to town at midnight. Who knows? There may have been a 24-hour Walmart. They go, and they try to find this oil. And we don't know exactly how long they were away for. Maybe they went to Uncle Joe's. "Do you have some oil?" They found it, they came back, they knocked on the door. "Please let us in. We now have our oil." And the person inside says, "Sorry, too late." If you had gone to churches that followed the similar tradition that I had gone to, you probably would have heard this sermon quite often saying, "That's why you have to prepare. Because you don't know. You don't know when judgment day is coming. So go, prepare, believe in God. Share it with all your friends that they have to believe in God. Because we don't know the hour or the day when Jesus will come back." We laugh. But the real uncomfortable truth is that is true. It's the worst thing to do if you're a person who does pastoral care. But there's nothing false about what is being said. And so as I stand here, and as I was preparing this week, I was thinking, what message can I bring? And as I was wrestling with the text today, there was one part of the text that really shot out at me. It's verse 5. In RSV it says, as the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. Let me read for you again. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. As the bridegroom was delayed. Now, I don't know about you, but when I first hear the word delay, I automatically think about planes. Now, some of you know that I grew up in Thailand. I was born in Korea. I grew up in Thailand. I have a lot of relatives in the States. So I did a fair share of flying when I was young. And for some reason, flights are always delayed. And sometimes it's a 10-minute delay. Sometimes it's a 30-minute delay. Sometimes, as people in the Grace Notes probably know, the flight becomes 5 hours delayed. And the crazy thing about these delays is you don't exactly know when the delaying will stop. Ladies and gentlemen, on flight 123 bound to LAX, your flight has a new departure time of 9:30. 30 minutes later, a new departure time of 11:30. They don't tell you the reason. In fact, so many times, these flights that get delayed and delayed and delayed often end up being canceled. For many reasons. They can't find the part to fix the plane. The people who were supposed to work on fixing these planes have timed out, so they have to go home. Or the flight attendants who have been waiting, they've already gone past their threshold, so they now have to check out. The captains have already flown too much, so now there's no captain to fly the plane. The reasons are endless. We have grown accustomed to the fact that when there is a delay, that it's just going to get delayed and delayed and delayed. And unless there is some kind of force that will come down on the delay, that things will never change. In the States, they have the new tarmac rule where you're not supposed to be late for over 3 hours on the plane. Once you're in the plane and you're delayed for 3 hours, everyone has to get out. So there are all these rules trying to curb our culture of delay, but unfortunately, that's the culture that we live in. That's a culture of delay. And to the congregation, to the community in Matthew's, that Matthew is writing this letter to, that the community, Pauline community in Thessalonians that Paul is writing to, they are a community in waiting. It's been delayed. When Jesus said, I'll be back, and he rose up to the skies, the people who witnessed it firsthand thought, oh, Jesus will be back. He was gone for 3 days. He came back. Maybe he'll be gone for another 3 days. 3 days have passed. No Jesus. 7 days have passed. No Jesus. 7 years have passed. No Jesus. 20 years have passed. No Jesus. To the community that Matthew is writing this letter to, scholars have argued that it's probably about 50 years after the death and life, risen life of Jesus Christ. So we're talking about a 50-year delay already, and yet still no signs. Jesus said, I'll be back. 50 years have passed. The first generation who have personally witnessed Jesus saying, I'll be back, have passed away. Another generation have passed away, and they're still waiting. It's a delay. It's a delay. It's a delay. I wonder if that's what some of these bridesmaids also felt. They heard the news that the bridegroom was being delayed, and they felt drowsy, and they slept. Think about it. If your bridesmaid was waiting for your wedding and went to sleep, the crazy fact is that we live in that world too. We live in that world too. And it's not only for those televangelists who says, "Jesus is coming, be ready." Or the people who put it on their bumper stickers in the back of their car, says, "Jesus is coming, be ready." Or some says, "Jesus is coming, look ready." Problem is, waiting is hard. Waiting is really hard. As some of you know, you've heard, Louis Mantis is now the director of the pageant. Cheryl and I are co-producers of the pageant. And I have heard, I am so accustomed to this waiting game. As a minister to young families, I will go to someone and say, "Oh, so-and-so, we have this need in the pageant. Would you please consider this position of volunteering?" Say, "Oh, let me look at my calendar, I'll get back to you." So here the waiting game starts. I don't want to be too pushy, so I wait a week. I see them at church. "Oh, it's great to see you. Have you given some thought about it? You know what? Actually, I need to talk to my wife." And so the waiting game starts again. It's another delay. And the pageant rehearsal starts in a month. The next week I go, I say, "Have you thought about it? Oh, you know what? My kid's skating schedule hasn't come out yet, so you're gonna have to wait just another week." And so another week starts. This delay just goes on and on and on. I told you about the flight delays. But some delays are a little different. Sometimes we're waiting for something good. The birth of a healthy child. The closing of the house of your dreams. The promotion in a job. Or acceptance into a prestigious university. But sometimes waiting is hard, or harder. Waiting to see if this time you'll be able to get pregnant. Or the foreclosure of your home because you couldn't make the payments. Or the doctor's report confirming that the cancer has returned. Whether we're waiting for something good or something bad, when the anticipated arrival is delayed, it's almost always anxiety-provoking. Why haven't I heard from the doctor? Why haven't I heard from the college admissions office? Why haven't I heard from my wife who's on the plane, but it's keep getting delayed? The waiting is hard. And I wonder if waiting is even harder. Because sometimes we think we wait only to hear bad news. We wait only to hear that the flight is canceled. We have gone so accustomed to the fact that when something is delayed, something bad will happen. But the gospel message, the good news in all of this, is that we're not just waiting for a trip cancellation. We're not simply waiting to hear the news of our health from our doctor. But we are waiting for the groom. For the groom is surely coming. The bridesmaids were all sleeping, but the good news is that the groom is coming. The good news is that Jesus is coming. Think about it. If we were waiting for something terrible to happen, that is bad news. Some of you know that my family is expecting a third child in March. Justin was 1 day late. Christine was 2 weeks late. We don't know about this third child. But if I was to think about Christine, that waiting game was hard. It was really, really hard. Because your life is not your life. You're always walking on thin ice. At any moment, a phone call will come and say, we're going to go to the hospital. It is just waiting and waiting and waiting. And you grow anxious, you grow tired, you sometimes even get mad. God, why isn't this just happening? But we wait and we're ready because at the end, we know there is good news. I know there is good news. In this story that we have read this morning, the good news is that all this wait is not for naught. All this wait is for us to greet the bridegroom. We know that at the end of the day, Jesus is coming. Jesus is not coming to say, you did such a bad job. Jesus is not coming here to say, you failed. But Jesus is coming to open his arms wide and say, welcome. A month ago, I preached on the sermon about how this one person came into the wedding party and wasn't dressed. For us, as people who are living in faith, living with expectation of meeting Jesus, it is part of our job to be ready for that moment. For me, when I was getting ready to go to the hospital, for me, I had always had a bag ready for Gloria, a bag ready for myself. I learned after Justin that I need to have a bag too, not only Gloria. I had my camera ready. It was fully charged so that I could take pictures and I could send them. I had my phone ready. I made sure that I wasn't over the data plan. See, I was ready. I was ready for that moment. And I was ready for that moment for 2 weeks. And trust me, it was exhausting. But when that moment comes, when I got to hold on to that child, you forget. No use trying to, you know, charge my battery because baby's already born. Brothers and sisters, the good news is that Jesus is coming. And all we have to do is be ready for it. And as Paul encourages the church in Thessalonians, our job as a church is to continue to encourage others of that fact. That Jesus is coming. We are the church. We are the church. We don't simply gather here just so that we can sing hymns. We don't gather here simply to do Christmas pageant. We don't gather here simply to dress really nicely for 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. We gather here to worship God. And as we worship God, we gather here in expectation of Jesus' coming. The great thing is, look around you. We're not going through this journey by ourselves. We have fellow companions, we have fellow journeyers who can get ready together. When some people are lagging behind, we have an arm where we can say, come on, let's do this together. And all the things that we do, like Christmas pageant, and like the flea market, the art show, all of this, is our way as a church to say, come on, let's join this party together. Let us encourage each other. It's not easy because it's a delay. But wait, the bridegroom is coming. Let us pray. God, we give you thanks because after this wait, that seems so long, that seems so painful at times, after this wait, that seems to be a delay after a delay after a delay, we know that there is good news. God, allow us to move forward towards that good news. God, we see in the Bible that both the wise and the foolish, they both fell asleep. We know it's not easy, and sometimes it's just easy for us to just let go. But God, allow us to encourage each other as this community of faith, to hold on to that faith that you are coming, and to wait in expectation. We ask of this in Jesus' name. Amen.